So my best friend and I have been best friends since first grade. And unfortunately, her dad passed away very unexpectedly about 2 years ago. So her and I both visit his grave numerous times a month, just cleaning up the grave and making sure it looks nice and keep it respectable. And one of her dad's favorite things to do was to sit down and have a beer. And so every time we go to clean up the grave, whether it's her and I or just one of us, we always bring a beer and set one on his grave and drink one for ourselves while sitting there. And one time I was there and I was just doing some gardening and weeding and stuff and just cleaning up around the grave and stuff. And after I finished, I set down a beer on his grave and sat down next to him. And I got distracted by something over near my car. And so I walked over to my car and was looking at whatever I got distracted by. And when I came back, the full beer can that I had set on his grave was completely empty, but the beer can itself was still closed. It's like the beer inside the can just vanished. And I've seen some other stuff happen around his grave, like little shadows and stuff like that, and just weird coincidences like that, but that was one thing that really stuck out to me, was the beer just vanished in the can.
I think that is actually the first time I've ever heard a ghost story where food is left almost as an offering or as a point of respect, where it is gone the next day. Quite often we hear about it still being there, or the theory that they can pass through it and enjoy it and take pleasure in the food. But for it to be consumed, I think that's a first for this program. And can you blame him? I mean, you know, girls there bringing you beer? Why not? It's quite a phenomena when the dead return, whether it's to leave a message, whether it's just to show that they're there, whether you just happen to catch them in passing and didn't even mean to show themselves. Any way, shape, or form it happens, it can be rather startling. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have three great stories about that happening for folks in all different situations. Was it just the ghost of a little girl singing a song out on the porch? One couple has to dig into this, or could it be something much darker lurking, trying to lure the living in? Also, our podcast opens the lines of communication between a mother and a daughter about the haunted house that they both inhabit that neither of them have discussed. Also, a real-life Night at the Museum case where the dead are coming back to claim the items that once belonged to them. Great stories are on the way in EPP bonus episode number 257. From Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Sometimes hauntings can start out pretty innocent. They can start out almost deceivingly innocent. Just picture this. You're home alone and you hear the voice of a child. Not just any child, but a child singing an old nursery rhyme. Seems pretty innocent, right? Seems like something you'd almost want to reach out and help and go, "I'm sorry you're here. What, you know, what, can I do anything? This is kind of sad to think that you're here just kind of all by yourself." But is that truly what is haunting a location when things like that happen? In our next story, we hear about a couple alone in their very old house. When out of nowhere, that very event occurs. A child singing a nursery rhyme. Pretty innocent, right? You would think, until it takes a very dramatic turn towards the dark. Take a listen. I live in Tasmania in Australia, and in 1989, one of the tenants in a very old house in South Hobart, together with my girlfriend and I experienced the following. I won't name the street, but the house was number 13, which may or may not have had something to do with what went on there. The place had been built in the 19th century, formerly been the barracks for the prison guards at the nearby women's prison in South Hobart, known as the Female Factory. In keeping with the requirements of a dwelling of a 19th century military nature, the walls of the house had been constructed from very thick sandstone blocks designed to withstand cannon fire and other forms of attack. It had also mistakenly been geographically positioned according to the location of the rise and fall of the sun, as it would have been had the house been built in England, and so none of the windows ever got much direct sunlight at all, causing the place to be constantly dark and dank, even in summer. At the back of the house was a dilapidated weatherboard sunroom, which was very rickety, leaning at an angle awry from the house and creating a feeling when you were in it that it might just fall off at any given moment. If you jumped up and down in there a few times, the windows would shake. I only ever jumped up and down once or twice in there to test it, so great was my fear it might drop off at any time. Being constructed from 3-foot-thick stone walls, the place necessarily had open fireplaces in every room for heating. One night during winter, my girlfriend and I, not long before she and I broke up, were sitting and watching TV in the living room at the back of the house, situated right next to the wonky sunroom. Routinely, we kept the door to the sunroom closed to keep as much heat as possible in the living room. As the fire was burning low and in need of more wood, I left my girlfriend in the room upstairs on her own and went downstairs and outside to the backyard to fetch some more wood. As I was reaching down to pick up a log, out of nowhere, I suddenly heard clearly the voice of a young girl singing. Her voice was coming from out of the darkened windows of the sunroom, a room I knew to be completely unoccupied at that time. I was not frightened, just fascinated. But as I strained to hear the lyrics of the song she sang, her voice immediately just faded off into silence. What little I did hear of her song, I could not understand because it seemed to be in some accent of the English language I was not acquainted with, words so old that they had long ago slipped out of common everyday usage. I was amazed at what I'd heard and quickly finished filling my arms with logs and rushed up the stairs to tell my girlfriend the news about the strange and brief encounter with an unexplained voice singing in the night. But when I entered the living room, before I could say anything, I saw that my girlfriend was no longer reclining lazily on the couch as she had been when I left to get the wood. She was now sitting bolt upright, ashen-faced and wide-eyed. As soon as I entered the room and before I could tell her the news of my strange experience, she immediately asked me, "Just then, did you hear a girl singing?" "Yes, I did," I replied. And she looked at the sunroom door and then at me and said, "It came from in there." "I know it did," I said. We both became terrified at this point, with the sunroom door being right next to us and something so eerie potentially now existing within it. For the rest of that night, we heard nothing else come from the sunroom, and of course, neither of us dared venture in it or even consider opening the door to look inside. Not long after this event, due to various reasons, my girlfriend and I broke up, and I found myself living in the house alone. She and I have since this time rarely spoken, and now have had no contact for a very long time. And although I'd very much like to tell her about the amazing event that happens next, and I'm sure it would fascinate her greatly, it has never seemed to be the appropriate time for me to approach her, to give her the information that makes the end of my story all the more surprising. A few weeks after that night, we heard the girls singing, and after my girlfriend had become my ex and left me there alone, one day I was in the backyard near the back fence and I began a conversation with my neighbor, a very old man who lived in the laneway behind the house and who had lived in the neighborhood all his life. He actually owned a vacant, run-down house that stood immediately to the left of mine. I mentioned to him the rickety sunroom at the back of the house and my fears about how it felt as if it was about to slide away and fall to the ground at any point. That sunroom was not originally a part of the house when it was first built, he then told me. It was added to the place later by a man who had a young daughter. She was suffering from an incurable illness that caused her to be bedridden, and because the house never got much sunlight, her father built that sunroom for her so that she could lie in there during the day and get some direct sunlight. She eventually died there. After I learned this over the next few weeks, I became more and more aware of something else within the house with me, something of a spiritual nature. Whatever it was, it did not have the seemingly innocent presence of a young girl singing anymore. It was malicious and malevolent and possessed a keen desire not only to frighten me, but also to destroy me. And that's where we're going to pause it. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We're also going to discuss how our podcast opened lines of communication between a mother and a daughter about the haunted house that they inhabit and what exactly they're both experiencing. Also, a real-life Night at the Museum case where the dead come back to claim items that once belonged to them. To hear the full story, go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to get access to this and all 257 bonus episodes packed with our best ghost stories ever. You also get access to our regular episodes commercial free and weeks before they're released to the public. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.